Look, when you are trying to discern a spouse, look for somebody. Guys, look for women that are serving. Look for women that are going on mission trips. Look for women that are serving in the body of Christ. Those are the ones that will make a good spouse, that will make a good wife. Women, look for men that serve in the body of Christ. Look for those guys that serve. Those are the ones that are going to be the good husbands because they've learned how to serve. Look at those who serve. Jesus was one who served. Can you imagine? He is the bridegroom and he is serving this lavish banquet. What did our Lord do? At his own wedding feast. He's the guy serving. He's the guy serving. We are in Isaiah chapter 25. And we already covered verses 1 through 5 in Isaiah chapter 25. But just to reiterate, this chapter is inserted here, and it's a chapter in on praise. And it mirrors actually the way it's written in the book of Revelation. Or I should say Revelation mirrors these chapters here that we're going through in Isaiah. And there are three songs here. There's a song for deliverance, and that was in verses 1 through 5, which we covered last time. And then there's a song of praise for millennial blessing. And that's the millennial blessing where Jesus is going to return after 7 years of tribulation. There will be 7 years of tribulation. First 3.5 years, the nation of Israel will be aligned with the Antichrist. The second 3.5 years, the Antichrist will come strongly against the nation of Israel, and that will be a very difficult time for the world. About a third of the world will be lost, or half of the world, and I think it's two-thirds of the Jewish people. Anyway, then Jesus is going to set up, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years on this earth. He's going to establish new things on this earth, but it's going to be very much on this earth. And then that 1,000 years will is what we're talking about today. And then the latter part of this chapter, verses 9 through 12, are the praise for the judgment against the enemies of Israel.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email. tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together, and I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
Let's pick it up from verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 25. Reading from verse 6, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine and choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. And on this mountain, he will swallow up the covering, which is over all peoples, even the veil, which is stretched over all nations. And he will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, and Moab will be trodden down in his place, as straw is trodden down in the water of a manure pile. And he will spread out his hands in the middle of it, as a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. But the Lord will lay low his pride, together with the trickery of his hands. The unassailable fortifications of your walls he will bring down, lay low and cast to the ground, even to the dust. Okay, so in verse 6, it says, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. This is speaking of the Passover the wedding feast that's going to take place. This is spoken about also in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19, reading from verse 6, Revelation 19, 6. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. So this is what he's talking about. When the Lord comes to set up for his thousand-year reign, and this is exactly what will happen. Remember, we have Isaiah that has told us many things that are going to happen about the first coming of Jesus, and those have been fulfilled to a T, everything. But he also told us about things that are going to come and take place at the second coming of Jesus. That has not yet occurred. And when that occurs, and Jesus sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years to reign on this earth before he establishes a new heavens and a new earth, there'll be 1,000-year reign. There's going to be a wedding feast. And this is the wedding of the church and those among Israel who also have given their lives to the Lord that came in the second half of the tribulation, those among Israel as well, those faithful ones. He's going to have a marriage feast. And the bride is the church. The bride are the saints, the believers. And coming with Jesus, coming to reign with him for 1,000 years, are also going to be the ones who have been taken up in the rapture. So remember, before the 7 years of tribulation, there will be a rapture. That is where those who have died in Christ, not the Old Testament saints, but those who in Christ have died, will be taken up. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who know Jesus will rise and meet them in the air. They will return to reign with Jesus for that 1,000-year period. And we'll end up looking at many of the verses on this. Then, for example, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4, it says, Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were complete. This is the first resurrection. So it's those saints who are going to be taken in the rapture are going to return with Jesus, and they will reign with Jesus on this earth for 1,000 years, 1,000 years of his reign. And so many of us will be among them if we know the Lord. We will be among them. And that's what it says. And if you don't believe that, that's fine. You don't have to believe it, but you'll be wrong again, because these things are going to happen just like it is written here. And so this is what he's talking about. This is the marriage feast of the Lamb. And so this is this profound time. And he speaks of this again. He speaks of this, if you look in Luke chapter 12, Jesus spoke of this in verse 37. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. So Jesus is going to be waiting on them, it says. And this is not the first time that Jesus has waited on people. Jesus is speaking about it. Remember at the Last Supper, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and you see this sort of thing. And Jesus kind of has a habit of serving other people. In John chapter 21, after his resurrection, this is the glorified Lord. I want you to think about this. This is the glorified Lord. In John chapter 21, he's ministering to them up at the Sea of Galilee. He had told them repeatedly. The angels had told the disciples, and Jesus had told the disciples, after I rise from the dead, go and meet me in Galilee. Meet me in Galilee. They never went. They never went. And finally, he had to meet them in Jerusalem, in the upper room. And then they were convinced he was alive. And then he met them after that up in the Galilee. And he says, it says in John chapter 21, but the other disciples, verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out of on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Jesus actually prepared a breakfast for them on the beach of fish and bread. And he says, come on, bring your fish too. We'll add them right here to the fire. This is our Lord who's doing this type of thing. And he invited them. So you see in verse 6 of chapter 25 of Isaiah, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. So that is the mountain of Jerusalem. We've talked about it before at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. And we said that that mountain is going to be about 5 miles square. So it's going to be enlarged. It's going to be raised up and it's going to be enlarged and there'll be a flat terrace on it. And it actually, some scholars have said that it's actually going to be 50 miles square. So if it's 50 miles square, there's going to be a real reconstruction on the earth. And we know that, and we'll get into this in the next chapter, that when Jesus comes before the 1,000-year reign, after the tribulation, before the 1,000-year reign, there's going to be a 75-day period where he will prepare the earth for his 1,000-year reign. And that if that is 50 miles square, that will reach from the river to the sea. That will reach from Jordan all the way to the Mediterranean. So if you go from the Jordan to the Mediterranean through Jerusalem, it's actually 60 miles. So this is going to be on that mountain. So it's going to fill almost that entire area. And if it's 50 miles, 25 miles south, 25 miles north of that, you're going to be way up in Samaria and you're going to be way down, And so this is going to cover a large area. If it is 50 miles, maybe it's 5 miles square, but there's going to be a lot of people because it says the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. So this is not just for Jews. When it speaks of all peoples, this is speaking of Gentiles as well. These are going to be the many Gentiles that are going to return with Jesus, that have risen from the dead in the rapture. They're going to be returning with him, plus those who lived through the tribulation and turned their hearts to him. All of them will be joined there. And it says, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet. Who's going to prepare the lavish banquet? It's the Lord of hosts. This is not his servants preparing it for him. This is his wedding banquet. Have you ever seen a wedding where the groom serves the people? Have you ever seen that? Where the groom is going around and serving the food? This is exactly what our Lord is going to do.
Because of you, millions of people have heard the gospel.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, and you will be saved.
That's right.
That's the requirement.
We talk about science concepts which draw people in.
Take these nanomachines and have them drill into cells.
This would be a great way to kill cancer, right?
We also talk about Jesus Christ, who's the best in everything.
My faith in Jesus Christ means more to me than anything.
If you could continue to give or give for the first time, we would certainly appreciate it. You can go to jesusandscience.org. Thank you so much.
It's very unusual. This is what the Lord is going to do. He's going to prepare this lavish banquet for all the peoples on this banquet, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of marrow. It's going to be aged wine. And again, he says, and refined aged wine. So again, he speaks about this aged wine. So if you don't like drinking alcohol, I don't know, you probably won't have to, but that's what's going to be served. All right? It's going to be aged wine. And he says it a couple of times. And it's not grape juice. I mean, aged grape juice is probably going to be wine. It's what it's going to be. And he says it's going to be a banquet of choice pieces with marrow. So it's clearly going to be a meat dinner. This is what he's going to serve. And he's going to serve to all of these people. And this is our Lord who is serving it. This is our Lord. What God will condescend to return to earth for his 1,000-year reign and then serve his people? Serve his people a meal. It's usually the people that serve the king. He is going to serve. This is what our God is like. And Jesus goes into this. Jesus talks about this sort of thing, the way he lived his life, the way he taught us. If you look in Luke chapter 14, verse 12, and he went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers, or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they also may invite you in return and give you your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. At the resurrection of the righteous, you're going to be repaid. So what he says is, he says, this is what your hearts should be like. The way we see Jesus operate is the way that we are supposed to operate. So he says, don't just you know, when you have these gatherings, don't just invite your friends. We can't have a Christmas gathering. We can't have these gatherings in our home without Shireen inviting other people who could never invite us back. We just can't do it, because she's always going to invite people. I encourage you to walk like the Lord has told you to walk, that when you have gatherings, when you have parties, when you have, invite people that don't have the means to invite you back. Do that with them. And one of these days you're going to be out of school and you're going to have your own homes. Open up your home and do this sort of thing. We are actually commanded here to do this. You see this, how he serves. You see that in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, Matthew 20, verse 25, it says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So what he says is the gospel is different. He says, among the Gentiles, they lord it over people. It is not this way among you. The gospel is not like this. It is always service to others. It is service to others is the way we are to live our lives. And you want to have a fulfilled life? If you want to have a fulfilled life, learn how to serve others. When you are served all the time, you will not have a fulfilled life. You'll start resenting a lot of things about life because you'll feel that you're just not getting enough. It's when we serve others that our life is fulfilled. Jesus demonstrated this to us. He is amazing. He is amazing to do this. It is because of Jesus. It is because the Son of God who took on flesh. God took on flesh. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, he took on flesh because his children are flesh and blood. He took on flesh and blood. He took on flesh and blood so that he could demonstrate to us what it's like to walk before the Father. I'm telling you, I grew up as a Jew. God is afar off. God is afar off. I've had discussions with Jewish friends, and they say, they feel I'm too chummy with God. I'm too close to God. And they say, don't you realize God is so magnificent? How can you talk about him like this, as if he's a friend? They don't view him in the same way. Yes, the Abraham was a friend of God, but typical people are not in this way. But this is exactly what is displayed to us in Christ, because we have the model of Jesus who walked on this earth. Because we have the model of Jesus, we know how to walk. I'm telling you, because we have the model of Jesus, he is the one who images this for us. A rabbi is supposed to be not just a teacher, but his rabbi is supposed to model for you how to walk in your life. And we have the perfect model, and that is in Christ. In Jesus, we have the perfect model. We know how it's like, what it's like to relate to God because we look at how Jesus related to God. Because we see this man, we see him documented in scripture. We see this man. And then this has been passed down to his disciples. And his disciples passed it down to other disciples. And that was passed down through the church to us. This is modeled in succession. It is modeled to us, not just by the hierarchy of a church, but by different people who have gone and walked before us. I've had several men that are my mentors. All but one is now gone on to be with the Lord. And they demonstrated to me what it's like to walk in a godly fashion. They demonstrated this to me. And I saw it. And this is exactly what was passed down. You know, Ignatius of Antioch, this was a disciple of John. He wrote concerning the seeing of Jesus, that when the disciples saw Jesus, Ignatius writes, wherefore they despised death, nay, they were found superior to death. He says that once the disciples saw Jesus alive, they despised death. In other words, they didn't fear death at all. Once they had seen Jesus alive, they realized that the Lord's overcome death. And this is what made them so bold that it says, Ignatius writes, that they were found superior to death. Superior to death. And this is modeled in the Lord. What did our Lord do? At his own wedding feast, where the bride of Christ, the church, comes to him, and he's the bridegroom. He's the guy serving. Look, when you are trying to discern a spouse, look for somebody. Guys, look for women that are serving. Look for women that are going on mission trips. Look for women that are serving in the body of Christ. Those are the ones that will make a good spouse, that will make a good wife. Women, look for men that serve in the body of Christ. Look for those guys that serve. Those are the ones that are going to be the good husbands because they've learned how to serve. Look at those who serve. Jesus was one who served. Can you imagine? He is the bridegroom and he is serving this lavish banquet. This is what it says. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. And on this mountain, he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched out over all nations. So in other words, there is a covering, there is a veil over all nations and over all peoples. There is this veil over them. What is this veil? This veil is spoken about in other passages. So if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The world, there is this veil over their eyes. And this is why sometimes you speak with unbelievers about God and they're like, there's nothing. Are you alive? There's nothing there. But when they turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And this is why I put out this appeal to people. If you've seen my YouTube videos, reach out to me, write to me by email. If you want to hear about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ, write to me by email and request that meeting and we'll get together. And so what happens is when a mother writes to me and says, hey, will you speak to my son? Will you speak to my daughter about the Lord? I said, sure, I'll be glad to, but they will have to write to me themselves. I will not chase them down. They will have to write to me themselves because I'm setting the thing up. I'm setting it up. It's not that we don't chase people down at times. I do that. But if for these meetings, I'm setting it up because it says, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That act of their writing to me and requesting that meeting starts to remove this veil. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, it says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. He's speaking about the veil that was on the temple. that separated the Holy of Holies. It is through his flesh, because of the life of Jesus, that that veil is removed away. He's speaking about the same thing here. He says there's a veil in Isaiah chapter 25. There's a veil that is over people. It says all the people. So that means when he speaks of peoples, plural, this is speaking of the nations. And it's stretched over all the nations. And it says he's going to swallow up that covering. He's going to start to remove that covering. Because in that 1,000-year reign, you think that everybody on earth is going to be just glory, glory, and seeking Jesus? No. There will be a group of people there on that mountain that are going to be seeking Jesus. What Jesus is going to demonstrate to us on that mountain is this. What he's going to demonstrate is he's going to demonstrate even when Jesus comes to reign on this earth, still there are going to be people that are going to rebel. They're going to know Jesus is right there in Jerusalem reigning. The whole earth has been changed. It's been changed in many ways. It's been prepared for his reign. Still, there are going to be people that are going to be utterly sinful. He's going to pull this veil back so they're going to be able to see and realize that there is the Son of God. And still, there's going to be a demonstrated rebellion against him. And that's why after 1,000 years, the devil is going to be let loose again to deal finally with sin once and for all. Because people will often say, well, if God just did this, if he just appeared, then people would seek him. Well, he's going to do that. He's going to do it. And you're going to see people will still not seek him. He's going to show sin to be utterly sinful. Than the heart of man to be utterly rebellious against God, even when Jesus is here on earth. Just like the first time he was here on earth, not everybody sought him. Just like the second time he's going to return, they're not all going to seek him. There's going to be others that are going to be exposed through this. Even he's going to pull back this veil. Then it goes on and says, it says in verse 8, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces. Doesn't say that tears are going to dry up. It says the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces. The Lord God, this is Jesus, will wipe tears away from all faces. What is he going to do with his children? What do you do with your own children? You wipe their tears away. I see people cry all the time, talk to them all the time, and they cry and they wipe their tears away. But when my children cry, I wipe their tears away. I wipe the tears away from my children because they're my children, and I wipe their tears away. This is what our Lord does. The Lord will wipe their tears away. You want to see what Jesus is like? This is what our Jesus is like. He wipes our tears away. That's what he is going to do. He'll wipe the tears away. He's going to deal with these things, and he himself will wipe away the tears. The most endearing thing that you can do is to wipe the tears away of another. And you only do that with someone who is very dear to you, like your children or your spouse. Those are the ones from whom you wipe the tears away. Or your mother or your father on their deathbed, and they start to weep. You wipe their tears away. Because they're your loved ones. This is what it says. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces. He'll do this. This is what our Lord is like. Jesus is the best in every way. This is what our God is like. He demonstrates to us his tenderness. All of it is packaged and embodied in Jesus Christ. This tenderness comes to us packaged and embodied in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's ministry to human beings here on earth. The whole thing is flipped around. Yes, we are his servants. And then he comes to his servants and he calls us his children. He says, Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves. You are my brothers. He calls them children. He calls them brothers. And he wipes away the tears from their eyes. This is what he is going to do. From all their faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. He will remove their reproach. People speak poorly of Israel all the time. People speak poorly of believers, seekers of the Lord all the time. A friend of mine just invited me. He's going to have a meeting and I could travel to a location and meet one of the new atheists, one of the people that just hates Christians and hates Jesus. And he says, "You want to meet him?" I said, "Not particularly." You know, because I've seen how smug he is when he speaks of believers. If he were here in town, I might, but I'm not going to travel all that way to meet this person. I don't particularly want to meet them. And they speak evil of us. And if you walk with God, not only will people speak evil of you, your name will be written about on the internet. People will write things about you. But you know, they've written so much about Jesus, even in the Talmud, even in the religious writings of the Jewish people. They write terrible things have been written about Jesus, that he was a diviner, that he was seeking spirits, just terrible things written about him. And both in Hebrew and in Yiddish sayings about him. And you say, well, why doesn't he just purge that? No, he leaves it there. He leaves it there. And he says there's this reproach, but he's going to, at this point, he's going to remove all of that. He says, "For the Lord has spoken," and he wraps that verse up, verse 8, he says, "For the Lord has spoken." You see how when God speaks, the universe comes in conformity to his word. Once he has said it, once it's been written, it can't stop from happening. He is not predicting the future. Isaiah is not predicting the future. He is defining the future. Because he's written it, the future now has to conform to this. You see what I mean? This word of God defines what the universe will be like. And because of that word of God saying it, that's now what the future will be like. Everything will conform to this. When he says at the end of verse 8, "For the Lord has spoken." The Lord has spoken. Once he has said this, it has to take place. It has to take place. And then he also says in verse 8, "He will swallow up death for all time." He will swallow up death, and death is going to be swallowed up. Death will be swallowed up. You know, during this millennial reign, it's talked about in Isaiah 65, during the millennial reign, you can look in verse 20, "No longer will there be," Isaiah 65, verse 20, "no longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For a youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed." So during that thousand-year reign, people are going to live much longer. But there will be some that will never die after that thousand-year reign. And those are the ones that have already risen from the dead. Those are the ones that have already come back to reign with Jesus. They will never die. They're going to come back because they've already died. They will never die again. They're going to come back to reign with him. And those who are living on earth, their lifetimes will be extended to hundreds of years. And other passages talk about how they will live long like trees. I mean, you can go to the Rice campus, you can see trees that must be over 300 years old. I mean, some of those trees are just massive. They have diameters of like 8 feet diameter. You will see this sort of thing. Things are going to change. People can't live hundreds of years. How do you know? What makes you say that? What is the scientific basis for saying that? You know, why? One of the things about aging is, why don't we live longer? What is it about these telomeres, these ends of the DNA that start fraying? Why is it? Why do these things start happening like this? And so you see there are patterns here. And we will see this. We will see exactly these things that happen, either in our life or in the life to come. We will see this. Exactly what is defined here will take place because the word of God is true. If you don't know the Lord, I urge you to come and know him. Just come and see me, and I will share with you today right after this class, I will sit with you and share with you right after this class. And you'll get saved today. Come and speak with me. If you're online, just write to me. Write to tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together and you'll get saved that very day. Don't go another day without this. Don't go without it. You don't have to go without this. You know, you may never have an appeal like this again. None of us knows how long we're going to last. None of us knows. You may never have an appeal like this again to hear such a thing. So reach out to me and receive the Lord, because the Lord is good. He is so good. And let the Lord wipe away your tears. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the demonstration that we have in Jesus, where we see the tenderness of our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have demonstrated the tenderness of God in the flesh. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will return and demonstrate it yet again, the way you serve and the way you tenderly wipe away tears. And you pull back the veil so that all will be able to clearly see God reigning here on earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for how good you have been. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you are so good. I pray, Lord, that these young people would come and taste that the Lord is good and see how good he is, and that they will always and forever, every day of their lives, give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ for all that he has done. Give thanks to God for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today. If you could give us a like, share, or podcast review, we would appreciate it. If you have any questions, you could send them to ask@jesusandscience.org, and we'll try to answer some of those questions in an upcoming video. And if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you want to hear about why I believe, send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, and we'll get together by Zoom. And I'll share with you why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ.